Hello, welcome again to another session to feast around the Word of God from the Bride Assembly Church. And I'm Pastor Moses Andrew. And today we will continue with the series I started last Sunday that I titled The Two Resurrections. The aim is to let the believers understand the order of resurrection and also to show the difference between the two resurrections, the resurrection of damnation and the resurrection of life. And I intend, by God's grace, to present it in a way that at the end, every believer, you will ask yourself, which one will I belong to, the first resurrection or the second resurrection? Today, we'll be looking at who qualifies for the second resurrection. I mean, the first resurrection. Who qualifies for the first resurrection, which is the resurrection unto life? What is the qualification? We'll be looking at it today. I believe that at the end of the message, somebody will have a right bearing for your eternal destination and have a reason too to be serious with your Christian life. Let's go to the auditorium and prayerfully believing that you will be blessed. Shalom.
Praise the Lord. Glory be to God. And I want to use this opportunity to comment on a mail I received from someone by the name of Tanko Eric, if you are listening to me now. Your problem is two things. I want to start with the second one you asked. How that in our television broadcasts, that the films that are shown, they show films supposed to be Christian films, and you say some of those people acting those things wear trousers and wear earrings. You are bothered about that. How that it does not portray what we seem to be preaching or believe in this ministry. Brother Tanko, they are actors. They are not real. It is a drama. And even not only wearing a ring or trouser, like I replied to you, Brother Tanko, I say they can even dress as Lucifer himself. They can dress like a witch and act the part of a witch. They can act anything to portray the message, to convey the message. That does not mean that is our members dressing like that. I hope you understand that. Secondly, your next question was that there are many people that have come to you watching our television channels, the Bride TV, and came for water baptism. But your problem is that after the water baptism, they don't come to your church to fellowship with you. And you are worried that they prefer to stay and worship online. They prefer to stay by the television set and worship and follow us. They prefer that to going to your church to worship with you. When you try to visit them, they tell you, no, they are online members of Bride Assembly. And then you added sarcastically, when they wanted to baptize, why did they not go to baptize online? That really shows your anger. Brother Tanko, let me tell you something. Praise the Lord. I am against anybody staying out of fellowship. I believe that you should have fellowship. You should belong to a fellowship. There are too many advantages of fellowship. Because fellowship, William Branham broke it down in his language. He said fellowship means two fellows in a ship. He said it means two fellows in a ship. Because one person alone cannot steer the ship. But I also know that the Bible says when he created Adam, God said, it is not good that a man be alone. And the book of Ecclesiastes, I think chapter 4, says that two are better than one. And Apostle Paul admonishes us not to forsake the gathering together, assembly of saints. I believe that. But there is a problem here, Brother Tanko. When you receive this message through this ministry, it is not easy to fit in anywhere. There is a uniqueness about this ministry, hallelujah, that if you are going to get any of our converts to belong to your church, because you too, you are a follower of the ministry of William Branham, then you have much more to do than just to baptize the person. You have much more to do than just to baptize the person. Praise God. So you have to find out what is the unique thing about this ministry. This ministry is not just a teaching ministry. What we teach, heaven backs it up. Hallelujah. There is the practical side of the gospel also. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And when you don't create that liberty, then the people will not fit in there, because it was in search of liberty that God directed them to this ministry. They were seeking for something. And also, when we talk about holiness, there is a general agreed standard of what holiness is. When they go to your church and they see women sitting down there with their hairs palmed and uncovered, if it is through this ministry they saw the message, they will not believe you are part of right. When they enter there and they see your women wearing neck chain and palming their hair and doing all the things like you see in the Pentecostal churches, they will doubt if you are true followers of the message of the hour. Although you have the picture of William Branham, and you may even be dressing like William Branham with Gorimakpa like William Branham. William Branham had Golima power like me. Praise the Lord. And some of you, the only evidence that God called you that you have is to gather the people and then read the messages of William Branham from the pulpit. And say you don't have any other message than what William Branham preached. And then you carry the sermon book. Today we are reading SARS. Is this the time that William Branham preached? Maybe in 1960 something. And then you are reading the Kentuckian English book. Then you close service and go. Nobody will come back there the second time. God don't understand what you are saying. Praise the Lord. So if you want the people to stay in your ministry, then amen. You do something about your setting. Make your setting more attractive than it is now. And the people will come. I'm aware of some brethren in Jos. I'm sure they are listening to me now. The same problem. They were in a message church. They saw the message through this. broadcast here, we gave them an address of a church in Jos. And they went there, and the same kind of thing, they will read the sermon book and do. And the young man said, he is looking for the Holy Ghost. And he's going there, and then they are telling him stories of what happened in 1964-65. And so he withdrew. And they came after him, why people not coming to church again? There were three of them or so. And they told him, this is what we are looking for, and we didn't see it in your midst. We will stay online with our pastor. Praise the Lord. Now listen. Amen. Those same young men, they partook of the 21-day fasting for our June camp. And one of them visited this place and received the Holy Ghost. He is now on fire in Jos. Amen. That is the reality I'm talking about. When somebody has a need, he has a need. Praise God. He goes to church. That need must be met there. If God is here, then something should happen to your life. Church is not a social gathering. We come here to meet with God. Hallelujah. Anywhere you go, you don't meet God there. Carry your Bible and change, including this place. I told you something last week in the course of my message. I gave you an understanding that God gave me, because this mystery, I have been very, very worried until He made me to understand. All these places that mighty men of God, T.B. Joshua, Maryland, what's his name again? Somebody, Jeremiah, in Warri. And there are so many of them. And watch it, in that ministry, it is one man he is using. It is one man that has the anointing. Now, in my ignorance, I used to say, there is something wrong. Why will all people gather like that? And only one man will have the anointing. I have spoken in several messages before, until God granted me understanding. I said, if it is only one man, that it cannot be God. But I am sorry, I am correcting myself in the same platform again. It is God, though. I say it is God. God made me to understand why it is God. Listen. Hallelujah. God. In Psalm 68, verse 18, he said, he giveth his gift. There's a language used there. Can we read it? Psalm 68, verse 18. He said, thou hast ascended on high. And you know, this is the same scripture that Apostle Paul quoted to the Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 10. It's the same thing. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. Yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Who is the rebellious? The armed robber is not the rebellious. Church, listen. Who is the rebellious? The armed robber is not the rebellious. Hallelujah. The prostitute is not the rebellious. The ritual killer is not the rebellious. Who is a rebel? A rebel is one that was part of a country lawfully and decided to go against the country. So, the rebellious here is a group of people who said they are Christians, but they disobeyed the Bible. Hallelujah. So what is God doing? God raises one man
to let them know that there is a God in heaven. He can heal. He is merciful. He can do mighty miracles, signs and wonders. He anoints one man to demonstrate it. So that when you see that power, that evidence of the manifestation of the reality of God, then something inside of you should stir you up to seek that God. That is the mystery of one man show church. They are there to so that nobody will have excuse again. There's now a reason to church you. Opportunity for you to seek God has been offered to you. You have seen him. Everyone that has problem, when you go there, you will receive healing. You receive deliverance. You receive breakthrough. Why is he doing it? So that you will know that there is God. This God is real. See testimony. But in that setting, that man teaches no other thing other than power, 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 power. He has no message for you. His message is, there is God. See the evidence, there is God. And the grace is so much on that man. Even when he is a fornicator, it will still work. Because it is not, that power is not there for conversion. That power is there for confirmation that there is God in reality. Then, every true seed there now, we have a reason to seek that God. Look for that God. Unfortunately, people sit down there. You are seeing a God and you know nothing about him other than the miracles, the signs, and the wonders. And Jesus Christ told them in John chapter 6, he said, that you seek me not because of the miracle. The miracle is supposed to make you seek me. But you are seeking me not because of the miracle, but because of the bread you ate yesterday. So it is only when you are hungry you remember Jesus. You know him to be a miracle worker. You know him to be a situation changer. You know him to be an iron breaker. That is all you know him. But let me tell you, he is more than that. He's more than that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So while the such churches go on the extreme, staying on doing nothing else than power, power, the intermessage preachers also, they do nothing more than Brother Abraham say, copy typists. Brother Abraham say, Brother Abraham say, William Abraham say, William Abraham say. They are saying it, the more they say it, the more the sickness that brought you to that church is increasing. No life. No life. So you gather there, you're a bunch of intellectuals and nothing more. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When I turn and I hear testimonies of sisters who just watching our broadcast, amen, just watching our broadcast, they stop all their nyama nyama. The sister from Lafayette called me 2 days ago and she said she has a problem, she needed counseling. The last she had been watching this channel somehow, but her sister in another town, junior sister, was sick, and by the sick bed she was looking after her in the hospital. She said the last words that the sister spoke, she said she could barely hear her, she was just whispering, she was dying, and told her, if you want to go to heaven, don't put a ring. Don't put those attachments. don't paint those your paintings. Don't wear those jewelries. Don't wear trousers. If you want to go to heaven. And she died. She says, after the burial of the junior sister, she came home 1 week after. And she forgot what her sister told her. She was dressing up to go to work. And she took a ring to wear. She said the power of God packed her. She fell down and darkness covered her. Then she remembered that it is that earring. God was angry with her. And she asked for mercy. She came back to life. She dropped it. She decided her husband is a pastor. Her husband is a branch pastor of a denomination. And in that church, women don't cover their hair. Everybody wears trousers, of course. She's the mommy there. And she wears her own trousers too. Now she goes to church, she covers her hair. She wears long skirts, she doesn't wear earring anymore. And the husband is angry. The husband is fighting her. And the problem was so much, they had to go to their GO in Abuja to settle the matter. She said, will I disobey my God? He said, it is not any man that gave me this order. Jesus Christ himself ministered to me not to dress like that. This is how he wants me to dress. The GO trying to settle them because the husband was threatening to divorce her. Pastor! This is what the GO told her, according to her. The GO said, choose between your marriage and a ring. Choose between your marriage and earring. It is not about earring. It is about who to obey. I don't know if somebody is understanding me. It is not about earring. It is not about the woman choosing earring. She herself, she liked that earring. She would like to wear them. I don't know if somebody is understanding me. Eh? Look, brother. Let's be very, very sincere, brother. Eh? See, sometimes, maybe I am hungry and I enter kitchen, no food, because me, I know the way to. If I'm hungry, I enter kitchen. No. I will stand and tell them, I say, I don't know why God told us not to marry more than one wife. So inside of you, you like more than one wife. Do you understand? Eh? But we cannot have more than one. If I get more than one wife, two wives, my father had 13. Come and see every one of them like to please the man. Eh? One got to outdo the other so that he go get more favor, you know. Then the husband, no matter how poor you are a king in your house. Praise God. So that woman like earring. Sister, I know you like earring. I know you like that trouser. I know you like it. You did not stop. Look, the bad things that we stopped, we did not stop because we hate it. I hope somebody understands. We did not stop because we hate it. We stopped because we want to obey. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why when the Bible speaks about a group of people that they went the way of Cain, I explain what the way of Cain is. It's a way of rebellion, a way of deviance. He said, this is how you should do it. He refuses. Me, oh, I know you are my God, but this is how I will serve you. But God said, I don't want you to serve me like this. Serve me like your brother is serving me. You say, lie, lie. That is the way of Cain. It's a way of deviance. And Ogachio is thinking that the woman hates a ring while the man loves a ring. The Jew does not have a revelation of why that woman is saying, I will not put it on again. He is looking at it as disobedience. But it is a revelationary obedience to he who alone we must obey. Now, as at the time she was talking to me, the man is planning to drive her away. I gave her my counsel, and among other things, I conclude, I say, if the worst happens to you, praise God. She has 3 children for the man. If you won't go, hinder me. If you won't go, don't hinder me. If you won't go, don't hinder me.
I'm on my way.
I'm on my way.
Praise the Lord to glory.
I'm on my way.
I'm on my way. To glory. I'm on my way.
I'm on my way.
To glory land.
To glory land.
I'm on my way.
I'm on my way.
To glory land.
To glory land.
I'm on my way.
I'm on my way.
Praise the Lord to glory.
Say it, neighbor. If you would go.
If you
would
go,
don't
hinder me.
Don't hinder me.
If you would go,
if you would go,
don't hinder me.
Don't hinder me.
I'm on my way.
I'm on my way.
Let the Lord to the glory land.
Hallelujah. So let me pray for all of them. And why I made that example, that testimony, is that when I hear people like that who listen to us and got converted by what we are saying, and I look around and I see people who have been coming here for years, and they stay kakara, God, the more we talk, the more they dress, the day more. Any day I see it, and I'm trying to see myself as if I have failed in the ministry. When I reach home, see calls from all over the world. See? This church? Hey. If I didn't have revelation about salvation, maybe I would have quit ministry since. I'm telling you. They say, don't wear sleeveless. Cover up your armpit. Cover up. They saw one style. Here, cover. You know, go no say here, open. Here is open, but there's something that cover. When I say lift up your offering, now that time you go see, say, now sleeveless they wear. For the church. Another church, oh, pride assembly. Here, this one. Watch, look your neighbor after, you go see what I talk. And why they like this church with a cover hair? So you don't know the thing when they're under that scarf. Make some of them open and make you see. If they open and see what they that hair, you don't go sit down near that sister. For this church. Meanwhile, some watching us, they are pulling those things and throwing them away. And verse 15. That's why we picked our text. When we try to look at the two resurrections. Peter said, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Why are you not dressing like the world? There is a hope that you have. There is a reason why we are obeying the scriptures, obeying the Holy Ghost to the level that we are doing. There's a reason why we will not marry more than one wife as believers. There's a reason why I will not follow my friends to be up alone, to drink. There's a reason why I cannot go to certain places. That's the reason why I have chosen the lifestyle I have chosen. Why? There is a hope. What is that hope? So we saw it last week through the scriptures. Because Job himself had to consider life through the life of a tree. And as in Job chapter 14, verse 7 to verse 9. If a man die, shall he live again? When he noticed that a tree, no matter how you cut it, no matter how you try, just put little water on it, it will come back to life. What of man, if he dies, shall he live again? And Apostle Paul tried to establish the fact that there is a resurrection. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There is a resurrection. And we try to look at it because there is a way the Bible puts it. We see that in Daniel chapter, chapter 12? Praise the Lord. Daniel chapter 12 verses 2 and 3. Let's read it again. Concerning the activities of the end time. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. Some to everlasting life. And some to shame and everlasting contempt. See the way he put it. See the way he put it again. He says, and many of them that sleep here is die. That sleep in the dust buried in the graveyards. He said, they shall awake. Now some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. There are two groups of people. Those that will awake to everlasting life and those that will awake to shame and contempt, everlasting contempt. Two groups of people that will resurrect. The same thing Jesus writes in John chapter 5. Let's read it also. Verse 28 and verse 29. Verse 28 and verse 29. John chapter 5. Marvel not at this. For the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And I tried to explain last week that these constitute two resurrections. The first resurrection and the second resurrection. The first resurrection is the resurrection unto everlasting life, eternal life. And the second resurrection is the resurrection unto shame and everlasting contempt. And I said, between these two resurrections, there is a period between the first resurrection and the second resurrection, the period of 1,000 years. After the first resurrection, we wait for another 1,000 years before the second resurrection of condemnation takes place. And it's good as the bride of Jesus Christ for us to know this divine agenda. Because they are all put in one verse, in one statement. And it will look as if everybody will hear his voice and everybody will wake up and he will stand. Everybody, one to the right, one to the left. You here, you did good, go to heaven. You here, you did bad, go to fire. That is not how it will be. That's what we try to look at. And then, this first resurrection consists of five categories that make up that first resurrection. The first category is Christ himself, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The second category are those who came out of the grave after Jesus Christ also resurrected, in Matthew chapter 27, verse 51 to 53. The third category is the bride of Christ, made up of the bride of Christ among the Gentiles and the elect of the Jews, those who believed also among the Jews, that he gathered during these seven church ages, known as the Gentile dispensation. The bride of Christ, that's the third category. The fourth category is the foolish virgins. And the fifth category is those two prophets in Revelation chapter 11. And their story is in verse 3 to verse 12. And we saw that this group, all the bride of Christ, the foolish virgins, and all these other categories, they are the ones summarized in from verse 4 to verse 6 of Revelation chapter 20. Praise the Lord. And we also tried to prove last week that the second resurrection, the last stage of the second resurrection, takes place after the seventh church age. And we saw that this is the seventh church age. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. And as I say this, I just remember a question somebody sent to me. Somebody sent this question to me this morning. Brother Peter Ennie. You say, sir, I ran into an end time preacher 2 weeks ago preaching, but was shocked at what I heard. He said, just as Joshua was chosen by God to lead the children of Israel into the promised land, so also has God raised their pastor somewhere in Ajegunle area as the star messenger of this age to lead his children to heaven. That whosoever that does not follow the Joshua ministry in this dispensation will not be saved. Hallelujah. No wonder that songwriter says, open my eyes, that I may see the truth, may see the truth, thou hast placed in my hands, placed in my hands, the wonderful, thou shalt acclaim, thou shalt acclaim, and silently, silently now, silently now, I wait for ready my God, ready my God, thy will. Open my eyes, open my eyes, illumine my sin, divine spirit, divine. Please, try to listen to the message that I preach, a title, Behold the Antichrist. And that is 1 John chapter 2. Let's read it. I think it's verse 18. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Little children, it is the last time. And you have heard that Antichrist shall come. See, one word, Antichrist, one word, singular, shall come. Then he said, even now are there many, many, many what? Antichrists, plural. Whereby we know that it is the end time, the last time. Church, Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Everybody is making proclamation, proclamation, proclamation. There is an advice that Gamaliel gave. Acts chapter 5. Gamaliel gave one advice. I love that advice. Verse 33 also. Let's read it down. Let's read it down. And now, Gamaliel, when they gathered those disciples, they were beating them, killing them. Because of the revival that took place on the day of Pentecost. They will lock them up. They will cane them. They will tell them, don't preach in that name again. There's a reason why they were doing it. And Gamaliel says, when they heard that, they were caught to the heart. Angry. Pharisees and Sadducees, scribes, and counsel to slay them, to slay the disciples. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, reverend doctor of law, had a reputation among all the people. And you know, Apostle Paul said he was a student of Gamaliel. Gamaliel was a known professor of the laws of Moses. And commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. Keep these people. You people come. Let's talk here first. And this is what he had to tell them. And he said unto them, you men of Israel, take it to yourself what you intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up another Antichrist, Theodas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and threw away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. Then, that last verse 38, and now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel, all this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it is of God, you can't stop it. But what shall we use to know whether it is of God or not? That is very important. Church, listen. It is about revelation. See, I am not following the teachings of William Branham because William Branham is a star messenger. Not because he made any claim. No. And let me quickly tell you this. Satan! Ah! But God is wiser. The Bible says, he's wiser than the foolishness, even the foolishness of men. God is wiser than Satan. Do you know something, church? The revelation of the seven church ages. Listen, church. Do you know that there was no mention of seven church ages anywhere until the ministry of William Branham started? It was William Branham that brought forth that revelation. God made sure all the first church age passed and people didn't know what God was doing. The second church age passed. But he will raise somebody that he will cause his people to be listening and following. Even those messengers did not know there was something spectacular about them. Hallelujah. Even those messengers he was using, the only person that knew that there is a dispensation given to him was Apostle Paul. But all those after him, they were just serving God as God gave them grace. They did not see themselves as anything special. But God gave them a light enough for everybody to say, this man is saying something. And they began to follow. It is this seven church age, and therefore, the last six church ages, you never saw anyone that stood up to say, make a claim, say, yes, there are ages, so for this second church age, I am the one. Or the third church age, we are now in the third church age, so I am the one. Unless you follow me, you will not make it. You didn't see such manifestations of the Antichrist because there was no such revelation. Anytime a revelation is given out and released, Satan goes at work to pervert it. That's why William Branham said that there are some revelations you have of a blessing coming your way. He said that you don't say it. He says Satan can never know what is in your heart. It is only when you speak it that he hears it. William Branham was telling us. He said you will fight more battles after you say the blessing you are expecting. It goes out of your mouth. The demons around will hear it and the battle will start so that that revelation will not come to pass. That is why in earlier the year I was telling you that when a revelation is given to you, I say, just like the promised land was given to Israel, that you will possess that prophecy. You will possess it by a fight. Because it was given openly. It is thus said the Lord. And we know thus said the Lord can never fail. But let me tell you something God does. When there is thus said the Lord, a blessing coming your way, God will give a corresponding grace to you to have faith to cause it to come to pass. That is what he does. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is what God does. And it is when you refuse to pray, you refuse to claim and confess it. The more you confess it, the quicker it comes. But when you say, no, I know, some even are waiting to see whether it will come to pass or not. Stand there, they look. Make I see whether this man is a true prophet or not. Make I see. You go stay, you go see. Tire. If it is God that has blessed you, before you claim that blessing, there will be fight. Therefore, when you receive a revelation here, prophecy here, don't go home and tell your neighbors. Then prophesy, say, in 3 months' time, I go get work. The witch, you don't hear them. The person, what they do, you don't hear them. Hallelujah. And so, also, God knew that principle. He hid the revelation of the church ages until the last church age. Then he raised the man that he will expose it and gave him a vindication that nobody could doubt. A vindication, not just by mighty miracles, signs and wonders, but by the revelation of the depth of the knowledge of the divine agenda for the salvation of the bride church. That no man before that man had that depth of revelation. And so, it is not the power. We did not see the power. We did not see the miracles. He died in 1965. I saw the message in 1990. Praise the Lord. Or 1989, 1990. That is when I saw the message. So, I am not following his teachings because I saw him or I knew him. No. And somebody sent a message, another email to me, that I am following the message of a dead man, William Branham. And that the Bible says he, God, is a God of the living, not of the dead. And I told him, whether he has another Bible, or it is the same Bible that Apostle Paul, who died almost 2,000 years ago, wrote. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When you hear blind people talking, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He was a messenger of God. Therefore, the messenger can die, but the message remains.